It's Thursday, October 11th, and you're listening to The Geek at Geek News Central, the longest continuous running tech podcast. This is show number 807, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Our October special for all new and existing GoDaddy customers, free private registration with a .com purchase. Use promo code UNLISTED2 or take 20% off your total order using promo code GO20OFF2. Hey folks, got a great show lined up for you. Know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There's no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey everyone, welcome ashore. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran, and I want to welcome all of the longtime listeners of the show on. Thank you for being here. We're show 807. We're past all the anniversary stuff, and we're back into just regular run-of-the-mill shows, which is fine with me. Just extra work to do when we have those anniversary shows. But I want to welcome you back. And, of course, if you're new to the community, I want to thank you for coming out and checking us out. So here's the deal. When you get done watching this show, I want you to go over to geeknewscentral.com. And I want you to get subscribed. And really, what I mean by getting subscribed is get subscribed to the podcast. And, you know, it's real easy to do so. All you got to do is click on the RSS feed or the iTunes link on the website. And actually, let me give you a little bit closer look here at the page. And let me bring up the right camera. And we're going to zoom you in. And all you got to do is subscribe to the site just by coming to that orange box, selecting RSS or iTunes on any of the feeds. And that way you'll get subscribed to the show. Of course, we want you to sign up for the newsletter as well. The newsletter will get you all the show notes delivered directly immediately following the show. The show notes, of course, are always over at gncshownotes.com. That's where every show's show notes are at. But we would definitely want you to get subscribed to the show. Well, I tell you, got a lot going on here. A lot. And it's been an incredibly busy week. I have put an extraordinary amount of time into a new, basically it's a proposal that is about this thick, going to a media buyer for a campaign that's going to launch out in the future. Been basically working on getting podcasters' names on the list. And to tell you how many line items there is, I've got over 3,000 line items for podcasters to be on this campaign. It's a huge, huge undertaking, reviewing each site, reviewing the content. I'm listening to more shows than I ever had in my entire life, and listening to a lot of content out there. It's been pretty incredible, really, because, you know, you listen to a couple of minutes, okay, that's good, boom, you're on to the next show, and got my team assisting as well, because I just can't do it all on my own. But got to get this done. I've got probably a half day's work left tomorrow on the proposal, and then I'll be wrapping it up and emailing it off and crossing our fingers. But if it goes through and we get the IO for the campaign, it'll be one of the most massive campaign. Well, it will be the most massive campaign that we've ever done. And I can't imagine managing this many shows on an ad buy. It's going to be nuts. So, yeah, look for my hair to be on fire first of the year. So lots going on in the business side. And I leave, and of course, amongst all this, the Podcast Awards is going on. And the Podcast Awards, I think, are going to close in 4 days for nominations. I've been watching the site, but everything's been running good with it. I haven't had any major issues. So if you haven't nominated your shows that you want to basically... to make the slate, you want to do so, we want you to go over there and put those nominations in. I have gotten a huge number of you have actually volunteered to be reviewers this year. Had to reach out to some folks that have done it in the past and ask to make our numbers, but we made all the numbers. So ready to turn this over to you, I believe, on Tuesday to start the review process, but it's been busy. So as a reminder, if you're watching the show or listening to the show, you can always check the show out on Google TV, on the Samsung Smart TV, the Roku, the Boxy. And of course, don't forget that you can email me here or reach me via Twitter at Geek News. The email address is geeknews@gmail.com. And the voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. This show would not be possible without our sponsor, GoDaddy.com. We want to thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor here at the show and want to remind you to, you know, take a gander at what GoDaddy has to offer in our deals this month. I've got two fantastic deals. We've got the special offer where you get private registration with a .com domain purchase and use that promo code UNLISTED2. This is a great way to start a private site without anyone knowing who's behind it. You can basically do that under the cover of darkness, I guess, is the best way to say that. And of course, our second promo this month is where you save 20% off your total order by using the promo code GO20OFF2. You know, GoDaddy's been a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. They've been a fantastic supporter. And I can't really, I stress a lot about how much value they basically have invested in the show through their sponsorship. So it's important for you to continue to support GoDaddy as a sponsor. And I've got a code here for every occasion by going to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. We've got all the codes where you get $1.99 hosting. You can get 15% off your order. You can get 20% off a 1-year shared hosting account. You can get some cash back by using Aloha, Central, Geek. Those are all codes depending on how much you spend. SSL certificates, we got .com renewals for those of you that have already got .coms by using that promo code COMSALE3. And here's one thing to know. Because you use the COMSALE3 code, it just reinvests that you guys are here supporting the show. The COMSALE3 code makes this show no money. It's purely there for your guys' benefit to save on the .coms you've registered at a discount with us in the past by using promo code COMSALE. So feel free to use that renewal code. Share that with your friends. Share that location. Tweet the location of the website. Everything gets us traffic via Google every time you do that. So geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy for all those codes. And again, we want to thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor here at Geek News Central. So let me go ahead and look through my list here. Next four shows are on the road. I've got my suitcase packed. Well, not really. It's sitting in the bedroom. So I'll be packing my suitcase. I'll be going on the road for the next four shows. I may change up the schedule a little bit to follow on week. We may do some day shows. So I'll let you know on that. We might actually do some morning shows. I'm just going to kind of experiment with it. I've got a little bit of a weird schedule the second week. So I'll let you know whether or not we're going to do that or not after I'm in my location. So we'll keep you advised on that. And then, of course, I almost forgot to mention the Gadget Professor. Him and his lovely wife are here in Honolulu. We're going to hook up tomorrow. I think he's going to come over and take a look at the studio. And I think we've got planned to go out to dinner or lunch. I don't know. I got to call him in the morning and get time arranged. And then I think I can bounce out of here around noon or 1 o'clock after I get done wrapping up the work on that campaign. But along with that, of course, we still continue our planning on CES 2013. That continues to roll down. And I don't have any idea what we're doing for Saturday Morning Tech Saturday morning. But we will have a Saturday Morning Tech, and then there will be no Saturday Morning Tech for 2 weekends in a row as I'm actually going to be flying back the second Saturday to Honolulu. So lots of travel here in the next month with 2 weeks out of town, really beginning Saturday night. So lots, really, that's kind of what's going on. Busy, and we want to thank you for being here again, being part of the Ohana. And, you know, subscribe, get hooked up with the newsletter. And, of course, we want to encourage you guys to check all the shows over at techpodcast.com. We're a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, all those family safe shows over there for you to review and watch. So I've got a bunch of stuff in the stack for you tonight. Let me go ahead and and see what I've got. I didn't watch the debate. I heard some of the news commentary afterwards. Probably it's just as well that I didn't watch the debate, because I probably would have, my brain would have exploded, and then we would have not had a show tonight. No politics thing. I keep on Twitter and on Facebook, and every time I see one of those political posts, I'm like muting it. But it's so easy. You just want to get in there and make a comment, but it's just not healthy at this point to do that. So I'm not going to, just going to keep my mouth shut. But, you know, it never ends. That's for sure. The whole political thing just never ends. All right, let me go ahead and talk about a subject. And I had gotten this email from a listener a while back, and somehow it slipped through the entire stack. And I saw another link to it today, so I have to apologize. But there's been an amendment to the PayPal user agreement and privacy policy. And essentially, it's an update about arbitration. And essentially, if you have to agree to these new changes by like December 31st or something like that. There's a date. There's a cutoff date. And essentially what it is saying is that you agree no longer to sue PayPal, and you have to agree to arbitration. So it's December 1st. Says, unless you opt out, you'll only be permitted to pursue claims against PayPal on an individual basis, not as a plaintiff or class member in any class or representative action or proceeding. And two, you'll only be permitted to seek relief, including monetary, injunctive, and declaratory relief on an individual basis. So it basically talks about how you are allowed or not allowed to have claims against PayPal. And, you know, so it basically says you will, with limited exception, be required to submit claims you have against PayPal to binding and final arbitration unless you opt out of the agreement to arbitrate by December 1st, 2012. Now, I don't know what that means. If you opt out, does that mean you no longer can use PayPal? Do they shut you down from that? I've got to get up to speed on this real quick. I got to find out what the impact is for basically not opting out with them. And so you have to agree to only go and basically agree not to be part of a class action suit. And let me see if it says anything in here in the bottom about, it doesn't say anything here that I can find initially. And of course, this is all legal speak all the way through here on whether or not you are, here, you choose not to reject this agreement to arbitrate by mailing us a written opt-out notice for new. So basically, if you are already a current PayPal user and using previously accepted, so it doesn't say anything. Okay, the opt-out notice must state that you do not agree to this agreement to arbitrate and must include your name, address, phone number, and the email addresses used to log into PayPal. You must sign the opt-out notice for it to be effective. This procedure is the only way you can opt out of the agreement to arbitrate. If you opt out of the agreement to arbitrate, all other parts of the user agreement, including all provisions of Section 14, will continue to apply. Opting out of this agreement to arbitrate has no effect on any previous or future arbitration agreements that you may have with us. It doesn't say anything about locking you out of the service if you fail to agree. And I think the challenge with PayPal is that, you know, when you know, PayPal has had some history of locking people out of accounts, out of PayPal accounts. I get kind of nervous when I get a certain amount of money in there. I'm doing transfers into my bank account. Now, there's nothing that I do from a money-raising perspective that should flag. But, you know, there is this limit. If you hit a certain limit on donations, you have to say what you're doing with their donations. So that would be the only thing that I could think of, at least on my side. But, you know, it's a value for value. It'd be easy to explain what we do with the donations here, especially for the podcast awards, because all this stuff comes into the same PayPal account. But I know some folks that try to pre-sell something, and I know that's a big no-no with PayPal on basically you're paying for something that's going to be delivered in the future. They don't like that type of a service. But if you're paying for something and it's delivered immediately, it's not an issue. But if you do a lot of business with PayPal, you want to look up at this policy updates. They're available. I'm going to have this in the show notes. You've got a few, you know, a few weeks here, obviously more than a month to get through this, but you'll definitely want to look at that if you have a concern about this, a change in arrangements with the PayPal agreement. I know one of the listeners of the show is really concerned about it, and maybe he can email in and basically lay out his thoughts and process about this arbitration rule. So anyway, I'll have that link up in the show notes for you. There's an article up over on CNN talking about presidential election tests Facebook friendships. And they're finding out that because some people are being so politically active in their Facebook pages that it's causing a decrease of people that are actually friending you by about 17%. People are starting to cut relationships because they're becoming irritated with the political speak. So they're saying on average, about 17% of people are basically saying, I'm done. I'm not following you no more. I've just been muting the post on like Google Plus and so forth. I just choose to do that instead of getting drawn in. But, you know, it's just like I've talked about this many times on the show. You know, certain topics are probably left best unsaid, especially if you're going to get deep into the commentary. SOPA is back, and not in the way you think it is. We know we had historic internet protest in January of this year with the SOPA anti-piracy bill. However, this week, several reports have pointed to a rather unfortunate SOPA comeback, not in Congress, but as a nasty crypto virus that locks up people's computers and accuses them of distributing copyrighted infringing files. The infected users can get their data back after a payment of $200, but don't pay this off. The SOPA ransomware can be overcome. There's a way to get back to your computer. There is a basically some instructions on the net on how to do this. I'll have a link up in the show notes, and within the show note link, there's actually a link to the how to remove this this malware, and it just basically tries to get you to extort you for $200, and so that's something someone's using at their advantage to scare people. And be aware, it's just malware out there, okay? So I was reading through, there's lots of stuff going on in the peer-to-peer space, BitTorrent, all these groups are still just whining and crying that's ruining their business. But a head of video company has admitted, or a media company has admitted, that his company's acquisition strategy is in large part based upon the content that is popular on BitTorrent. Company's called Fairfax. He says not only Fairfax using BitTorrent as a market research tool, the company also admits to advertising their content offerings directly on BitTorrent sites in an attempt to convert pirates into paying customers. So basically, Fairfax is one of Australia's largest media outlets. And they basically have decided that if a movie or a show is hot on BitTorrent, that's what they're going to buy for their audiences to put up for broadcast. And I thought that was kind of a interesting move. And so they're using BitTorrent to basically do to market research. I think they're very smart. And I'm sure that the peer-to-peer people don't like it. But and I find it incredible that Fairfax says it's advertising to those BitTorrent users. And then sharing the revenue they generate from converted pirates with the BitTorrent platforms by advertising on there. So the BitTorrent platforms are making out some money, but that's pretty cool. That's pretty incredible if you think about it. So anyway, have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. So over at torrentfreak.com. Hey, the folks at Apple have hired away a top Samsung CPU designer. And they're hiring him to build custom Apple chips. So this is pretty big. Apple just took this big step here toward upping its chip making game. and hired away a guy by the name of Jim Agard, is a well-respected and vastly experienced engineer with Samsung. Hey, you know, before I go a little any deeper into this, what's going on in Hawaii right now this past week? We've had no trade winds. And so when we don't have any trade winds, we get what's called VOG. It's not fog. It's volcanic VOG. And it just leaves this haze, this nasty haze over everything. Well, today the trade winds came back. It's cooling off and it's blowing the VOG out and things are much cooler. But for some reason, the angle of the trades haven't completely shifted back. So this studio is running at like about 100 degrees right now. So I've got the ceiling fan, and I don't know if I can even show this, if the camera will point up that far. So those of you that are watching, let's see if I can actually do it. I've got the ceiling fan. Oops, wrong camera. I've got the ceiling fan running at like super high speed and trying to not only cool this room off, but to cool me off. So if you hear the fan running in the background, I apologize, but, anyway, it feels much better with that thing up on high, but it's like a hurricane in action. So if you hear the noise in the background, I apologize, but it's just like, I'm cooking in here and I had to turn the fan up. So let's go back to this story on Samsung and A6 and I'll come to this in a second here with the someone's asking a question in chat, but with this hire of this engineer from Samsung, this really is a indication that Apple's committed to designing its own chips. You know that the A6 chip in the iPhone 5 was its first chip to use its own custom core, and we know that Apple has been using customized chips for its production A45, A5X. Those were built on the ARM architecture, the Cortex A8 and A9. So they've just been tweaking things here and there with the blueprints. But with the A6, the chip was designed from the ground up using the ARM's reference design and not its ready-made core. So that was a very big deal, of course, as well. So I'm sure that he is going to get heavy into this and probably be their lead guy in chip development, which is big. So you know, Apple's all about controlling the whole process from birth to disposal, I guess. Someone, let's look in here in the chat room. Someone says, have you seen my site? Will you be talking about Apple redesigning the iPad Nano again? Don't know if I will. What specifically did you want to know, HQ Radio? I think that's who's set that in the chat. And what is your site? Tell me your site name and we can look at it. So that was up in the chat room. But anyway, enough talk on Samsung. We'll move on. There, you know, I'm always looking for the unique and the weird and the fun stuff and things that would make people sit back and go, Well, the folks over at Gizmodo have found a table that will never outgrow your kids. And it's called the growing table. It's a drawing desk. It features a slope work surface at one end. It's low enough for little tykes, while the other end is high enough for teenagers. And it's nothing fancy. It's not made out of any fancy materials, made out of marine plywood. But it's pretty slick how they've designed it and how it will grow with a kid. So I'll have a link up in the show notes for you to check it out. But you definitely got to have enough room for this thing because it definitely takes up some space, but this type of stuff is always cool to see, and cool designs that people made for different types of desks and layouts, and how this one will actually grow, because that's one of the challenges I'm in right now is, you know, the furniture in my kids' rooms were, you know, bought when they were kids, and now I've got teenagers, and they need more room, and so we're in the process of going through replacing stuff. Well, the supersonic space jump was not completed. The Red Bull Stratos Mission Control has announced that after Tuesday's aborted supersonic space jump, the next launch is scheduled for Sunday, October 14th. So basically, it's all about weather. They've had issues with weather. And have you guys seen how big this balloon is? It's like the same height as the Statue of Liberty, and it's probably like 3 or 4 times as wide when it's completely filled. Thing is a monster, and it can hold 843,497 cubic meters of helium gas, and that's extraordinary. It really is. So anyway, the link will be up in the show notes on that. You can check it out, but the Red Bull thing has been pushed off for a while. All right, next article up is over on Yahoo, of all places, and this caught me by surprise this evening when I was going through the show notes. But U.S. Defense Chief Panetta has said, U.S. Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta was addressing a news conference during a NATO defense minister's meeting at the alliance headquarters in Brussels, and he said that the U.S. would do preemptive action. It was possible over a cyber threat. He says U.S. military could act preemptively if it detects an imminent threat of cyber attack. That makes me go, okay, what does that mean? What kind of a preemptive strike would they do if they were going to have a cyber attack? So this is kind of makes me go, okay, will they do a preemptive hacker strike back? What would they do? We know that there's been some businesses that have been attacked. The Shamoon virus, which attacked Saudi Arabia, their oil production facilities. There's been denial of service attacks, of course, against a variety of different government agencies. So, you know, there's all kinds of things out here, but it is an interesting move here where he said that the United States would do a preemptive strike. Now, he goes on to say the United States has made significant investment in cyber forensics to address the problem, and they're starting to see returns on those investments. He says potential aggressors should be aware that the United States has the capacity to locate them and to hold them accountable for actions that may try to harm America. Panetta said, adding that the Pentagon was finalizing the most comprehensive change to the rules of engagement in cyberspace in 7 years. He said that the DOD had a mission to defend the country and would be ready to respond to attacks or even the emergence of a concrete threat. Such a preemptive action would occur only under certain dire scenarios, he said. He says, if we detect an imminent threat of an attack that will cause significant physical destruction in the United States or kill American citizens, we need to have the option to take action against those who would attack us. And I'm thinking to myself, does that mean like bombs on target or spin the missiles up? Or what exactly does that mean? I don't think any of us know, but it is interesting to see that the United States is starting to, you know, basically say, okay, stand by, big boys. We're going to load the guns up if you do something you shouldn't be. In the chat room, HQ Radio says, check my site out at hqradio.com. We'll have to do that. He says on the iPad Nano, they went to a new larger format instead of the small watch-like screen on the new Nano. He says it has to lift. Okay, it has to lift 2 people in the pods. I fully don't get that last reference, but here's the deal. We know that the Nano, when it was released, was redesigned to be bigger. And, it's all about media. It's all about media consumption now. I think that was the reason for the bigger screen, because I think you can watch video on that little screen too, can't you? Or not? Or is it just a little flip screen? I think it's a little flip screen like on the iPhone, but vertically, and vertically, so it doesn't, so you can easily adjust it on the move or on the run or so forth. So switching gears here, let's talk a little bit about an article over in Geek News Central. One of our writers has put up, Alan put a follow-up to the post that I blew last week talking about Lookout for Android. Essentially here, Lookout for Android can now find your phone even when the battery is dead. And he talked about this announcement. And some of you are going to say, well, how can you find your phone if your battery's dead or your battery's been removed? So what's going on is this Lookout for Android, which is a free app, which allows users to locate lost phones. Essentially, what's going on here is that the device continuously updates itself in its database on where it's at. And so it's basically what happens is when service fails, or when someone, if the phone is stolen, you're going to know at least in the relative area where the actual battery was pulled. There should be an update that gets you pretty close to the location. So I'm not using Android. I'm not familiar with this app, but I'll have the link up in the show notes. You can check it out. Thanks, Alan, for putting that up. I got a noise back here. Let me shut something off. And hopefully that got it. Got a cable that's making some noise. I got to adjust something. Along with an article from Andrew, who basically, I guess those of you in the UK are facing the same thing that happened to us here in the United States. Essentially, what's going on is that analog TV signals are being turned off in the UK. The actual last date is, let me look, he had put a date in here. So I don't see the actual date, but apparently this is happening. You guys have had to buy converters and so forth. And he talks about the devices that at this point are worthless because he's not able to use the analog device anymore. So, he says the analog switch off doesn't occur until 24 of October. He says there's a bit of pre-switchover digital channel shuffling on the 10th of October, which caused a confusion, but it's still at the same time, the full digital switchover is going to happen on the 24th of October. So we went through that here in the U.S. going from analog to digital. He says, to be fair, the analog TV signal has been good run for its money. The PAL system started in 1967, so it's lasted 40 years, and my TV 470 has been around for about half that time. So I hope that the device, and basically it's a little Casio handheld television he has. He says, I hope it's in TV heaven. So I think a lot of us had TVs that went dead during the switch over here in the U.S. too. Another article on Geek News Central is got some of our team members talking about app.net. And now there's new applications for app.net. I've got one loaded on my iPhone. But as I've talked about in the past, app.net is an alternative to Twitter. And it's based on a subscription. It costs $36 a year. It's Twitter unplugged or Twitter unlimited. And I really, it doesn't have the reach that Twitter does, but it's an open platform and people can develop to it and build to it without the restrictions that Twitter's put upon app developers. So they're starting to get the traffic over there is moving pretty good. And I'm also using the AppNet Rhino app that KL talks about in this article. So definitely you may want to check out app.net. And while there's not a lot of us over there right now, it's a good thing. You can get the username that you want and give it a try. It's a pretty good place for some private conversations. Got another article at Geek News Central from Andrew talking about Kickstarter. And so Kickstarter team Great Britain is getting underway. So those, if you're looking to do something with Kickstarter, it's now allowing UK-based projects. And so that's pretty cool. From today on, proposers will be able to start putting together their Kickstarter projects for launch on 31 October. So that's pretty cool. So anyway, that's available for those of you in the UK to start using Kickstarter in the UK. So that's big news for those of you in that neck of the woods. All right, Mozilla's pushed a 16.01 update for Firefox. And what happened here is Mozilla took the unprecedented steps of pulling down a version of Firefox and really warning those of us that have already installed it to stop using the browser. This move came after a rather bad security flaw was found in the software, would allow a malicious site to potentially be able to determine which website users visit and obtain access to the URLs or URL parameters. So the 16.01 fix is available for download. So make sure you look at the version that you have and to make sure to see which one you're on. I'm on the beta auto update. So I think I had it on my machine for about 24 hours before the update came out. But I was aware of the issue and was actually using Chrome during the period that it was affected. Well, we're starting to see a lot more Windows 8 devices. And, you know, to me, I don't know. I guess I'm not super excited about the Windows 8 launch. It's you know, it's another version of Windows. I know a lot of people are. But, you know, I'm seeing a lot of Windows 8 machines. And the foot factor or the, you know, the footprint of the devices all look a lot alike. The Sony Vaio Duo 11 Windows 8 is going on sale this month. It's going to be $1,100. And this is a little bit of a better design. And the Duo is going to come out on October 26th when Windows 8 is available. But, you know, this is a pretty pretty big price. And but really what's going on here is you've got a Ultrabook Guts, a backlit keyboard. It's got GPS. It's got 1080p. It's got Gorilla Glass. It you know, it's made pretty nice. And but you know, just I look at this design and I just don't know how I'm gonna react to it. I don't have any machines running Windows 8 here right now, so you know, I can't poo-poo it too much for not using it. I've played with it in some places where they've had demo units. But other than that, I don't know. Are you guys excited about Windows 8? Could you care less? Are you going to stay on Windows 7? You know, what are you going to do? I'd love to hear from you. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail at 619-342-7365. Someone says, hey, Todd, which magazine with the embedded electronics did you mention last? That was a couple of episodes ago, and it was only 100,000 copies. And what was the name of the, what was the magazine? It was, get one here. Oh, boy. Entertainment Weekly or something like that. It was one of those, but there was only 100,000 of those available. And you'll have to go to gncshownotes.com. And just look through the show notes to find the link for those of you in the chat room. Only 100,000 of those, and I'm sure they are probably centrally located around some big cities. All right, D-Link Powerline is a mini adapter. This is pretty cool. This is a new device that's come out on the street by D-Link, and you know, I always like these Powerline devices because they've gotten a lot better. And they've made this really inexpensive. These are $60. They're already shipping. It's a low enough price here that really there's really very little standing between you and a reliable connection for moving a console or a set-top box. And they work really well. They really do. And this is a 200 megabit adapter. And allows you to link up your Ethernet connected devices. And if you've got, you know, like a Roku or Boxy or something like that that is not as performing so well over Wi-Fi, this is a great way to do it. And usually it's usually faster than Wi-Fi because you've got a nice dedicated connection back to your cable modem. But this is pretty good. It works, you know, you basically put this within your existing network real simple. Just a couple of cables, a couple of network cables and a power plug is really all you need. Now, you can't put this into a power strip. It won't work there. You usually have to go right into a wall socket. So you've got to have a free Puka left in order to put that in. I've been watching it lately. There's this discussion about this new commenting system called Livefyre. Livefyre, the folks at Engadget have implemented on their website. And the more I look at this, and there's a couple of other companies that have been making changes to their commenting systems to make them more social. This thing's pretty impressive what it does. And, you know, it ties stuff into social. It allows you to share comments. This is something that I'm going to have to look at real close and see if it will be a fit for Geek News Central. Need to go out and see if there's a plug-in that makes it real easy. You know, the part of the problem I have with many of these plug-ins that do replacements for WordPress is they don't take the old comments and incorporate them. So, you know, you've got this nice, deep commenting community basically making comments on your blog post, and you input one of these new commenting systems, and then they don't import the old comments. So it really lowers the value of the previous content. So that's one of my challenges in actually thinking about implementing a new commenting system on Geek News Central. But anyway, I have a link up in the show notes for this. You can check it out. Pretty neat little system. I'll be doing more details. Now, along with that, Ars Technica is a site that I follow all the time. And they've had some basically trolls, for a better word, coming into their comment section. And they basically say, and this is what they've said, that they've seen a real influx of readers that are a little different than who we had before. He said the single to nose ratio has really plummeted. So they've had enough, and this week the site responded with a brand new comment system that basically involves voting to separate the clever from the crackpots. It's based on the up-down system popularized by sites like Reddit, but it includes a special twist of its own. And basically, if a comment is voted down enough, it just disappears. And if a comment is voted up, it gets a little brighter. And so that's kind of an interesting deal, that the lower the score a comment gets, it goes to gray. And if it gets scores really low, again, it disappears. So this is what this is going to do, is allow their listeners to basically, if they only want to see 5-star comments, they select 5-star comments and it just shows those. And but basically what they're trying to do here is crowdsource a comment quality. And there's a risk of this where you could have a high mentality, but it's almost like the point where you have to get to a point where you're protecting your user base, because these trolls come in and they can be absolutely destructive. The flamers and the name callers, and I've had my fair share of those in emails have come to me, and sometimes on the website as well. But kind of a cool way that two different sites are making changes to their commenting system, one going to a star system and one going to a more social commenting system. Over on GigaOM, they're reporting that internet advertising is still a growth business, but pace slows. And I think what it is they're starting to look at digital and it's starting to mature, and they're trying to decide where to invest their money in different advertising mediums. And obviously, mobile's huge right now. That continues to have big growth. But how many of you are clicking ads on mobile? There's been some talk that the reason why many of you are clicking on more mobile ads is because the companies like Zynga and so forth, who are financially strapped, are increasing the size of the mobile ads, and it's real easy to accidentally click on the actual ad versus being, really wanting to do so. So it's kind of an interesting move here, but $17 billion was the amount of money spent in the first half of 2012, according to the Internet Advertising Bureau, with the growth rate, where the growth rate had declined between 2011 and 2012 by a little bit. But we'll see where this goes. And boy, I tell you, they could spend a lot more money in the podcasting space for sure. All right, if you are a Netflix user and you are hearing impaired, Netflix is going to be adding closed captions to all of its videos within 2 years. And basically, they've come up with they've settled a court case brought against them by the National Association for the Deaf and other disability rights advocates, agreeing to a consent decree that required to have closed caption for all videos by October 2014. Before it reaches that point, Netflix will allow its users specifically to search for closed caption content on its website. Currently, 82% of videos on Netflix do have closed caption, so that's good. So that they're going to be moving to that. And if they're going to have videos on Netflix, they're going to have to be closed caption. All right, a court has reversed earlier sales ban on Apple. Apple won on Samsung Galaxy Nexus. So this is big. You know, this is good news for Samsung. And it seems like these little wins keep happening here and there. They've Samsung did an appeal, and the court decided on Thursday to lift the injunction placed on the Android 4.0, the Galaxy Nexus. And the court says that Apple should not have been granted the ban in the first place. So if you've been waiting to buy one of these phones, it looks like you're going to be able to do so. So this is a big, 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 big win by the Samsung team, and it's probably a decent loss for the Apple team, obviously. You know, here in Hawaii, Oracle CEO Ellison, Larry Ellison, you know, he likes buying things like islands. You know, he recently bought a Hawaiian island, and now he's looking to spend more of his money. You know, it's amazing. These billionaires, when they have the cash, they like to spend it. And so now he's going to be looking at a multi-billion dollar sports and entertainment empire. So it's called AEG. And I guess this owner wants $10 billion for his company. I don't know who AEG has. AEG assets include the Los Angeles Lakers, the LA Kings Pro Hockey Team, and more than 100 worldwide entertainment and sports venues in the AEG live concert promotion business. So that's huge. So we will see if Larry Ellison is going to all of a sudden be the owner of a sports team. I think that's what they have to do. You know, Mark Cuban had to buy a sports team. And so I guess Larry Ellison has to keep up the neighbors and has to do the same. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. Never been over to the WikiLeaks site. It's one site I've never visited in the entire time I've been online. But there's a report today that WikiLeaks has went behind a paywall. And the folks over at Anonymous are crying about it. They've cried foul, saying that they shouldn't do this. But apparently upon clicking any of the site's documents, that leads you to a pretty nasty video that portrays a president. But anyway, they're looking for cash. And I guess Julian Assange needs money probably to help him get out of the I guess he's still in that embassy, isn't it? He's still hanging out there. But I guess he needs he needs some cash. So WikiLeaks is now behind a paywall. I'm sure that'll be a real effective means to have the site get exposure. I've added a few personal sites to the read list, and one of them that I'm following is Chris Penn's website at christopherspenn.com. And Chris has, and I've known Chris for a number of years. Chris has got a post up talking about the true value of conferences, and he has it's really telling here because, you know, when I read this, I kind of smiled a little bit because, you know, the conference business has been pressured here recently. You can't tell it by CES because it looks like the numbers are up. But, you know, a lot of people say, well, what's the value of going to a conference? And I think when we go, it's most of it is for the relationships we develop. But, you know, a lot of it also is for the content. What's there? What's to see? What's new? The conversation we're having with people in the hallways, and it's basically kind of almost like reunions. It's a community affair where you're seeing people you haven't seen for a year. And also, it's about when you travel to the event, you're breaking your routine. You're not in the office. You're not eating the same food, sleeping in the same bed, attending meetings. It's different. And this changes the context, which really, and when I find when I go to CES, I get ideas spawned, and it's like taking time off, you know. And I've been a workaholic for years, and taking time off is difficult for me, and actually, you know, having true downtime. As for me, conferences are kind of like almost like a mini vacation per se. I'm working like a dog, but it gives me a chance to do something different. So one thing that he says here is that when you're going to these types of events, it gives you the ability to think outside the box a little bit. So if you haven't considered going to a conference recently, maybe you consider going to one. Maybe consider going to CES, or maybe becoming part of the CES team, part of the Tech Podcast Network, and coming out and working with us. We always have room for, we have always people that we need, we always need help, We always need assistance doing stuff. There's never enough people at the show. So if you know, if you're thinking about maybe attending a conference, maybe come out with a Geek News Central team to CES. Many of the folks that listen to the show, you know, we've got Jack. Jack has been a longtime supporter of the show. He comes to CES and donates his time to help run the TriCaster and basically be our guy in the booth. And, you know, Jack is listening to this show right now, and we love having Jack as part of our team at CES. Of course, we're going to have Mike Dell's going to be there this year helping us. So if you're thinking about it, say, man, I'd like to go to CES. Come on board as a support person. We're looking for someone this year to replace Kara. Kara is our, basically, we call her our chief cat herder, and we need someone this year to basically help us stay organized and on schedule. So if you've got those types of skills and want to come out to the show, drop me a note. We'd love to have you along. I'll basically give you the details if you email me, and I'll let you know what's required and so forth. But we're looking for someone that's really organized and want to come out and basically manage our broadcast booth and be the person that's going to help interface with our clients as they're walking up for interviews and so forth. But Kara cannot make it this year, so we've got to fill that position here in the next couple of weeks. And this article kind of, you know, said, oh yeah, I should talk about this on the show. So if you want a little post-holiday break, and it's not really a break because we work pretty hard, drop me an email, geeknews@gmail.com. According to the South Carolina Supreme Court, that if you have your email on a system like Yahoo or Gmail, if you are reading someone else's email account, you're not violating any federal statute at this point. So there's an issue here. It's saying that in a case decided on Wednesday, they ruled that accessing someone else's email without their permission doesn't violate the 1986 Era Stored Communication Act. The Justice of Renouncement ruling that email stored in the cloud, like Gmail or Yahoo, does not meet the definition of electronic storage as written in the statute. So basically, the statute is behind and ineffective at this point. So you can read someone's email, at least in South Carolina, and not have to really worry. Now, this will probably end up in the Supreme Court, and there probably will be some additional legislation put forth. But this is an interesting ruling here. That means all of our stuff that's up in the cloud, is especially in South Carolina, is a concern. Are you guys know I'm not a gamer. If you know, I'm a little bit of a compulsive type. So if I started gaming, I would definitely end up with a wife that would probably be packing my suitcase or throwing my clothes in the yard. So, but gamers can be pretty passionate in what they're doing. I understand that they love their games. And apparently, folks are very upset over a YouTube video that shows a Resident Evil 6 disc containing extra data that is basically locked away under a security key. And apparently a company called Capcom that makes Resident Evil 6, it was pretty vague about what was hidden in the content. And now what's going on is that apparently this is some new levels or some new adventures or whatever happens within that game, and that it's going to cost people that already have bought the disc an additional $20 to unlock it. And I'm thinking, that's pretty smart of them to package that way. But the gamers are saying, this is unfair. I bought this disc. I'm holding it in my hand. I own this. So there shouldn't be anything on here that's locked away. And saying that the company's greedy and they shouldn't be doing this. Well, here's the thing. You know, if you are playing the game, they don't advertise this extra stuff with it. I don't think they're under any obligation to give it to you for free. If you were expecting to get it free and it was laid out that this was going to be made available, then I would be upset. But a lot of people are saying, I own the disc. It should be unlocked. I know people don't like to spend more money. Those games are expensive. But at the same time, I kind of understand the company's thought process here. They put extra time in code into developing those extra adventures, and it wasn't advertised as part of the general package. So I see, what is the big deal charging $20 for them? But I guess some of the gamers just are irate. And I'm sure I'll get some emails on this tonight for sure. There's 6 billion phones, mobile phones worldwide. And that's pretty incredible. The global population has purchased 6 billion cell phone subscriptions. Fully a third of those, for a total of 2 billion, are from China and India alone. That's pretty incredible numbers. The trade group reports there are more mobile phone subscriptions, 322 million, than there are Americans, 314 million. Of that total, 41% are smartphones and 23% are prepaid customers. What it is you have a phone for work and you have a personal phone. That's why there's more phones than people. So we spent 2.321 trillion minutes on the phone last year, a 3% increase over last year, and sent about as many texts, 2.273 trillion. And one last figure that may give you pause, the average monthly cell phone bill has fallen slightly to $47.16, meaning each of us on average spends $566 per year on our phones. Mine's much more than that. All right, NASA is basically finding some rocks on Mars that look like Earth rocks. And so scientists are pretty curious here. They shot it with Curiosity's later and expected to contain the same minerals as rocks found elsewhere on the Red Planet, but learned instead it was more similar to a rock found on Earth. I guess the planets aren't that much different after all. So I'll have that link up in the show notes for you. Along with that, if you are living in one of the following cities, please stand by. If you live in Philadelphia, Northern Virginia, if you live in Minneapolis, and if you're in San Francisco, San Jose, apparently you're going to be able to buy something online at Walmart. Of 5,000 items on Walmart, they're going to deliver it to you the same day in those cities. This includes television, toys, tablets. And it only costs you $10 to have the stuff delivered. There's no minimum purchase necessary at the moment, but a $45 minimum will apply in San Francisco and San Jose. So instant delivery, $10. I can't drive across the town and back for $10. And I'm sure if they brought this to Hawaii, it'd be more expensive because of the gas. Scientists in the Arctic have launched an urgent investigation into how solar storms can disrupt sat-nav. Studies have revealed how space weather can cut the accuracy of GPS by tens of meters. So the scientists in Australia and in the Arctic, are going to be doing some studies to find out how much this has really affected GPS accuracy by solar storms. I think we're also going to have potential of some solar storms over here in the next couple of days. I'll talk about that in a few minutes. Stem cell treatment found effective for a rare brain disorder. Four young boys with a rare and fatal brain condition have made it through a dangerous ordeal. Scientists have safely transplanted human neural stem cells into their brains. 12 months after the surgery, the boys have made more myelin, M-Y-E-L-I-N, a fatty insulating protein that coats the nerve fibers and speeds up electronic signals between neurons and shows improved brain functions. So the preliminary tests show that future research into potential stem cell treatments for disorders which overlap with more common disease such as Parkinson's and multiple sclerosis. So this is big. This is big. Stem cells are proving to be worth their weight in gold. Canada's version of SOPA, which would grant the federal government law enforcement agencies powers of information about individuals who are online without having to apply for a warrant, is dead in committee. This is huge. So Canadians, pat yourselves on the back. You've got this thing shut down. You've got it stopped. And at least for now, it's basically locked down in committee. And those of you in the UK, this anti-piracy law that you have that was implemented called FAST. Well, apparently the folks that are behind that are not happy. They want more stuff put into it. You know, right now it's pretty incredible. You can lose your internet service and so forth. It was so many instances of copyright violation, but they want to add more hooks into it. So be aware that the recording groups and so forth are pushing for, they give an inch to take, they continue to take more rope, so be aware. Hey, Mega Upload has renewed a request for criminal charges to be dropped against the company. And so this is an ongoing battle. This continues to be maneuvering by Mega Upload. And they're hoping that the judge will throw out the suit against the company. And then if Mega Upload is ever extradited to the United States, they could recharge him directly. But this is the games that the lawyers are playing at the Mega Upload level. Those of you that are on DirecTV, DirecTV has a new DVR, records 5 shows at once, streams to multiple TVs. This is big. It's called the Genie DVR. And it can record 5 and play back up to 4 TVs at once. This is huge. And this is available for new DirecTV subscribers. And the Genie and as many as 4 Genie Minis are free. But there's an advanced receiver fee of $20 per month is required when taking on all the equipment. The $20 fee can be cut to $10 a month if a subscriber has auto bill pay set up on their accounts. So it's something we're actually looking at here now is trying to go to a different service and just have the internet through the cable company. SoftBank is a cell phone company in Japan. It's actually, my sister-in-law is a muckety-muck over at SoftBank. And Japan SoftBank is taking aim at Sprint. Apparently, they're looking to buy Sprint. So we'll see what this, how this is going to work. But they may go after a Sprint to get some foothold here in the United States. They're holding talks. So that's an interesting move here. SoftBank shares in Tokyo on Friday pushed the stock down as much as 17%. And people trying to figure out how they're going to finance it and so forth. It's a huge, huge... SoftBank's kind of a relatively small player in Japan, so it gives you any idea. It's kind of an interesting move. All right, Space Shuttle's historic LA move was documented for film. I have that link up in the show notes. Of course, they had to drive Endeavor through the state streets of LA over the weekend. There's also news that a private asteroid hunting space telescope is going to launch in 2017. So that's kind of an interesting move here. It's called the Sentinel Space Telescope, which is being put together by what's called the B612 Foundation. It's partner Ball Aerospace, and they're moving forward with the development of the satellite, so the actual telescope. Pretty cool stuff. All right, Dvorak Uncensored at Dvorak.org. Dave basically is saying, in a sane world, telling a website, do not track me, result behavior that assume the person making the request did not want to have unnecessary data collected about them. But to online advertising industry, that DNT1 signal means, right, you're one of those idiots who think this is about privacy. Now, give me all your data. So basically, they're talking about this battle that's brewing between the advertising industry and the browser folks. And John C. Dvorak has a pretty good write-up on this. I'll have this link up in the show notes for you to review. All right, a couple of fun things for you here at the end, ladies. And this outfit was kind of cute. I'm going to put it up here in the video. And you got to be a true geek to wear this. It's an R2-D2 dress. And this is something you could wear to a geek convention. $133 is what it's priced at. I know some of you laters are going, yuck, but there's a few geeks out there that would love to have this R2-D2 dress. And I got this article over at ogizmo.com. Another thing, I found this real cool. It's called Bend Desk, and it's a workstation and multi-touch computer in one. It's pretty slick. It really is. I'm just, as I see it, I'm thinking, I wonder if I could rig this thing so I could have this do the show. But so basically, the computer's embedded right into your workstation. You don't have to think too much because this is been developed a prototype here that the Bendesk is basically a desk that's got a huge multi-touch computer built right into it. The horizontal and vertical screens are connected. And basically, you can work interactively with other folks. Kind of an interesting move here. I'd like to see this thing, how they've actually got it designed, but it's using that kind of that surface mode computing that that Microsoft has touted for a while. But kind of a cool concept. This is definitely just a concept desk for sure. And you want something for Halloween, fellas? You want to gross the ladies out for Halloween? All you got to do is order some new earplugs. It's called the Hair of Silence. And so, you know, nice little Halloween prank set of earphones for you to wear. I'm thinking about buying those and just wear them on the airplane one time and see what kind of response I get. And finally here today in the news, Office has released the released a manufacturing stage. And so that's big. The new version of Office 365 is going to be rolling out soon. But general availability is planned for October 19th. So customers purchasing Office 2010 from local retailers will receive the new Office for free upon availability. So be aware of that. So when a brand new version of Office is about ready to roll, I think I'm still on like 2007 or something like that on all my computers. I haven't updated. All right, let me go ahead in. I'm opening up email and let's see how long. I should have had that open prior to this, and we'll see what we've got in the show notes. I think there was actually a call that came into the hotline, and I think I forgot to download it, so we'll cover that on the next show. I got an email here from Tim. He says, "Hey, Todd, scientists and astronomers think they found a planet made up of one-third diamonds. I'm looking for a moon made of cheese, though." So he's got a link up to that for me. I got an email here from Richard. He said, "Hey, Todd, I've been a longtime listener, but I never got to hear the first 100 shows. Is there a place where I can link to the first, second, and third show and so on?" Richard, hey, Richard, just go into the archives. Go to 2004 October and look through the website, and you'll find them there. So that's a great place to start if you want to listen to some of the old shows. He said, "Hey, Todd, there was a Pizza had a publicity stunt, and I don't know if this is going to have any effect, but Pizza Hut seeks voice and sales in presidential debate, and they're offering up a pretty cool prize. So I'll have that link up in the show notes. You want to participate, you'll be able to do that next Tuesday." Got an email on comparing 1080i and 1080p, and I'll have that link up in the show notes. Thanks for that as well. Jim, I want to thank you for your link to the Space Shuttle Atlantis hands-on and inside look. And I think that's all I had for emails that have come in. So anyway, we're going to wrap the show up here at this point. I want to thank everyone for hanging out with me today. I do appreciate it. As always, you can email the show at geeknews@gmail.com. I'm up on Twitter at geeknews. The hotline's available 24 hours a day at 619-342-7365. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran. I'm the host here at Geek News Central. It's been my pleasure to bring the show. And of course, I want to thank all the HANA for hanging out and for all of you for staying subscribed and being part of the family. And everyone have a great week. Don't forget to go nominate your favorite shows on the podcast awards. Be here for the Saturday morning tech show Saturday morning. And also consider becoming an insider at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Until next time, everyone take care and aloha.